The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
Amen. Well, thank you, Matt. God bless you, truth seekers. I'm excited to be here with you. Welcome aboard the show today. God bless you in whatever you're doing. I pray that in the next 30 minutes that there would be a blessing that's poured out. I need it. I hope that God blesses me through this, and I really pray that He will bless you. I just want to take a quick moment to give praise to God for the mighty long distance He has brought Truth Infusion Ministries in the last year. You know, it has only been about 13 months that Truth Infusion began. God put it on the heart, my heart and Jennifer's heart, my wife, to begin something new and fresh. And it was a big step of faith for us, no doubt. We left out of a ministry that we had been in for years, and my father's the pastor there at the church, and just grew up under, that was my training ground in so many ways. And God called us to do something different. And in this year, I can't tell you how amazing it has been to see things take place that I never would have guessed. You know, stuff that I never even had in my mind. The very fact that you are listening to me on your radio or listening to a 30-minute show, it blows my mind. I never even saw this coming. I wasn't looking for radio as a ministry outlet. I definitely wasn't looking for a radio program. A 30-minute program where I can just talk with you about the things God's put on my heart and share word with you and encourage you. This is something that is such a surprise to me that we're doing this. And yet here we are a year later. We're on three different stations right now around this area, covering a lot of Arkansas, a lot of Northeast Texas. Two of those stations have AM and FM side, so that in certain respects maybe five stations. I don't know how you want to look at that, but here's something really exciting to me. Just this month, we are beginning on a brand new station, nowhere close to where we are right now. This station is actually out of West Lafayette, Indiana. WWCC out of West Lafayette, Indiana. I believe that's 97.3. I hope I didn't say that wrong. But I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And we're going to be on the program there, on their programming. And I'm just excited about that, ministering to people in Indiana. So God bless all of you in Indiana. If this is one of the first programs that you're hearing from Truth Infusion Ministries, I want to tell you what my desire is for you. My desire for you is that this would be the most anointed 30 minutes on the radio. And there's a reason why I say that. I've said this before, but you may be listening for the first time. If you're up in Indiana, or maybe if you're joining for the first time on the internet, I want you to know that has nothing to do with a desire to see myself lifted up. It's not about me at all. There's no desire for any kind of popularity contest or fame, fortune, and glory. I'm far from it. I'm really not even gifted as some kind of radio host. There's many, many other preachers, pastors, radio, Christian radio personalities that are much better at this than I am. But here is my desire. I want this to be anointed for one reason and one reason only. The only reason I do this is for the hope and the prayer that God will take this avenue of ministry and use me to say something that will bless and change your life. That's really it. And I can't do that on my own. Left to myself, if listener, if truth seeker, if what you got today in the next few minutes is the very best that David Markham can offer you, you know what? That's not good enough. It's not. That's not going to benefit your life. At best, it may entertain your ears, and then in a few minutes, you'll forget what I've said. But if it be anointed and blessed and led by the Spirit of God, then that's a proposition altogether different, isn't it? That's why I want this to be infused with the truth and the power of the Holy Spirit so that it might change your life. And I want to pray for you right now, and then we're going to take the next several minutes of this program to continue in a study we've started several weeks ago in the sixth chapter of Romans. We're studying about the sin nature. And we spent a lot of time last week on verse 12, one of my very favorite verses in the Bible. But today we're going to kind of review verse 12 in just very briefly, and then we're going to get into verse 13, because we're going to continue to get practical application from Paul through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in his life to see how we can effectively live apart from the sin nature with the Holy Spirit in control of our lives. And that's something that all of us as Christians need to learn how to do, need God to bless us with the understanding of where to go with that, because without it, we are doomed to live in the shackles of sin. So let me pray for the rest of this program and for you specifically. Heavenly Father, we do need your anointed touch on every word that's spoken, every ear that's listening. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would send the one that makes teaching easy, that you would send the one that that makes explaining the word so easy, and Lord, that it would be right. I don't want to say anything that's not right or misleading or even shaded to my opinion. I want this to be truth. Infuse the truth into everyone that's listening, even into my own heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so last time around, let me grab a quick drink of this coffee. That's good. I think that's hazelnut flavored. Good stuff. Last time around, Romans chapter 6, verse 12. We began to, let me just read verse 12 real quick. Therefore, let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, at the end of last week's program, in the last, five, seven, 8 minutes, I began to explain that the word it in this verse, that you should obey it, is not referring to the sin nature. It's referring to the mortal body that it just spoke of a few words before that. So let me read it again, and I want you to keep in mind that the word it is referring to mortal body. So hear this again. Therefore, let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it, obey the mortal body, in the lusts thereof. Let me say it. That's kind of the King James version. Let me say it the way we would say it more I'm in East Texas. Let me give you the East Texas of it. I command you, don't let sin reign over you so that you obey the lusts of your body. Okay? This is very important. And the next verse, 13, elaborates on it. So this is the thought or the concept or the ideal that we're going to kind of flesh out over the next few minutes. The point in verse 12 is this. If the sin nature is reigning over your life, and remember, Paul is speaking to Christians. He's not talking to non-believers. We know that non-believers can do nothing apart from have the sin nature reign over their lives. It is they don't have the opportunity to say no to it. It is the ruling, dominating, governing spiritual nature that reigns over their body. Now, I debated on whether to go into this or not. I'll tell you what I want to do. For the rest of the first segment of this show, I want to go into the concept of the spiritual nature reigning over the flesh. We need to understand this. If you can get a better grasp on this concept, then the next verse will make all the more sense. So here's kind of how it goes. When God designed man, we read in Genesis chapter 2, I think it's verse 7, and it's a familiar verse to all of us. God formed Adam of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils what? What did he breathe? The breath of life. And man, Adam, became a living soul. So what we know from this is that when God breathed the breath of life into Adam, it animated it. It brought him to life. Now that word breath in the Hebrew word is actually the same word for what we would, the word spirit. You can use it as breath, spirit. They also use it for wind. One word that has a few different meanings, but here's the meaning that really applies to that verse in Genesis. The spirit of life is what was breathed into Adam. God breathed into Adam the spirit of life. And in the New Testament, I'm sorry I don't have this scripture for you, there's a scripture that refers to the Holy Spirit as the spirit of life. We know that all life comes from the Spirit. Nothing lives apart from that the Spirit gives it life. Started with Adam, but it doesn't end there. That's what animates and brings all of us to life. And that also is what makes our spirit live when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. The Holy Spirit comes in again and animates our spirit to life. Paul said in Romans 7, verse 9, I was once alive apart from the law. In other words, the law was done away with as far as that's what I was living by before. The law was done away with, and I began to live. I was once alive apart from the law, but then listen to what he says in the rest of that verse. Then the commandment came, sin revived, and that word sin is better translated the sin nature. Sin revived, and I died. Here's the point I want to make. I don't want to go too much further past that to say this. God's original intent and the plan that still goes forward in all of us today, some 6,000 years after Adam was created, is this. Man is born with a human nature. It's born in with a physical being. You have a physicality that we can touch, feel. The tangible human body is there. But it is a neutral entity. It's neither good by itself nor bad by itself. Your physical body is a tool of the spiritual nature that is reigning over it. Okay, so when Adam was brought to life by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit was dwelling inside of him, and it was the Holy Spirit that was the spiritual nature or the spiritual guide, the spiritual Lord reigning over his physical body, his mortal body. This was God's original intent, that the Holy Spirit, we also call that the divine nature, would reign over the mortal body of man. And because that was the plan, God desired that that spiritual nature, that divine nature would control our body, would give us perfect communication with God and relationship with God and understanding with God. When the divine nature was the overriding factor in the life of Adam and Eve, they had perfect God consciousness. They understood him, they knew him, they related with him, and he with them, just how God had intended to begin with. But then we go to verse 17 in chapter 2 of Genesis. God tells Adam, when you eat of this tree, in the moment that you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Now we know that Adam and Eve ate of the tree, and we know that they did not physically drop dead. So it must not have been specifically physical death he was speaking of. He was speaking of a spiritual separation. Really, that word death is better translated so we understand what really happened. Spiritual separation. You will be spiritually separated from me. So here's what happened. When sin entered in, the Spirit and the presence of God, the Holy Spirit could not remain in competition and in the presence of sin. Adam chose rebellion, and so the Holy Spirit departed. But Adam and Eve, mankind, cannot live and operate. The mortal body, the physicality, your flesh cannot operate on its own. It must have a spiritual nature to oversee and override it and to govern it. The Holy Spirit left because Adam introduced sin into his life. And so at the moment, the exact moment that the Holy Spirit, the divine nature, left Adam, a new spiritual nature had to be born forward to take its place and to oversee and reign over his mortal body. And that new spiritual nature was the sin nature. Now Adam and Eve have no other option but to obey the sin nature because the divine nature had departed. And here's what we're talking about in verse 12. Let not the sin nature reign in your mortal body. Because here's what happened when you came to the Lord, when I came to the Lord. Jesus and the power of the cross broke the power of the sin nature in your life. And you were separated. That relationship with the sin nature changed. And the divine nature came back to reside within you again, just like in Adam. Just like in Adam. Now your mortal body can be controlled by the divine nature again. However, the sin nature is still there. That's why we have the choice in verse 12 to choose the sin nature's reign or the divine nature's reign. Come back with me on the other side of the break and we'll continue.
Truth Seekers, this is Jennifer. I wanted to take a moment to remind you of something. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I guess the children's song is true. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Okay, until next time, you keep seeking the truth.
Hey, Truth Infusion listeners, this is David. I need you to do something for me. I want to take some of our radio shows and use them like a question and answer time. I want to take the questions that you have, apply the Word of God to them, and see if I can help you come up with some answers to some stuff perhaps you've been struggling with. So you go to truthinfusion@gmail.com and send me your questions. truthinfusion@gmail.com, and you keep seeking the truth. All right, now we came right into the break there discussing the fact that the humankind, man and woman, we have within us, if you are saved, let me put that caveat in there because it's very important. If you've come to the Lord, then the spirit, the spiritual nature which had controlled you up until that point, whether you got saved at 6 years old, 66, or 106, up until the point of your salvation, you were born with the sin nature reigning over your mortal body. It was the controlling factor of your life. And it controlled and dominated and governed your thought processes, your mental will and ability, and in many, many cases, what your physical body carried out. The activities, the actions, the lusts, the desires, those things were all manufactured by the sin nature, and it was the, like in verse 12 kind of paints the picture of a king on the throne. It was the king on the throne of your life. But then you get saved, and Jesus, because of the power and the event of the cross, and I can't go back into all of that again, we'd take the rest of the program, because you accepted that, what He did on the cross was real and you wanted it in your life. Here's what happened. The power of the cross, the power of Christ and what He did there broke the power of the sin nature in your life and you were separated from that. The relationship between you and the sin nature changed and the divine nature now came to rule over you, took the place of the sin nature on the throne in your life and began to be the ruling, empowering, guiding, governing factor over your life. And this is kind of where we circle back around to verse 12. After having said all that, Paul says, "Let not the sin nature reign over your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." Now, like I said, the word "it" is referring to the mortal body. And he's saying that it's the lust of the mortal body that we end up obeying when the sin nature is reigning. And as I taught you last week, The words "let not" spell out the fact that we have a choice to make here. We can let the sin nature or we can let the divine nature. If you've come to the Lord and you are saved and the Holy Spirit indwells you, you have the God-given ability to choose who is going to reign over your life. And when the sin nature is in control, then we begin to obey the lust of the mortal body because it is the sin nature that's manufacturing the desires and the will that our mortal body craves, and it leads us to sin. The opposite takes place when it's the divine nature that's in charge. Your mortal body begins to crave after that which is holy and right and divine. There's a verse in Galatians that says, the mind of the flesh is after the things of the flesh. The mind of the spirit after the things of the spirit. It's pointing out the one that's on the throne is the one that controls what your body's desire is after. And this is what leads us to verse 13. Let me read verse 13, and then I want to point out a few important words here that takes this thought and just carries it forward and puts more flesh on the bones here. Listen to verse 13. Paul says, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Let me read it again for you. If you're driving in your car, I want you to be able to understand this. Paul said, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those who are alive from the dead." I want to point out something about the word yield. And this is pretty neat to me. I like to do the word studies because when you dig into these words that Paul laid out by the Holy Spirit's hand, you'll see what this is really pointing out to us. The word yield is a Greek word. And it means to put something at someone's disposal. In other words, to hand something to someone and say, "Here, use this." And it's written in what we talked about in verse 12, the imperative form. When we spoke about the prohibitive imperative in verse 12, that's a command. An imperative is a command. So here's what Paul is really saying. "I command you, stop yielding your members as instruments of unrighteousness." Here's what we're doing, ultimately. We're putting the members of our body at the disposal of the sin nature. Now, let's pretend like we don't understand what any of this is talking about. What are the members of our body? Well, it's the parts of our body we're using to actually commit sins. Paul is saying your hands, your eyes, looking at things you're not supposed to be looking at, your ears, listening to stuff that God would not have you hear, your feet, taking you places you don't want to go, your mind thinking on things that are not of God, that are not good and true and right. These are the members of your body. Paul is saying, "I command you, stop yielding, giving over, voluntarily handing the members of your body to the sin nature, so the sin nature can use it as instruments of unrighteousness." This is a choice again that we are making to decide to say, these are the members of my body. I could give them to the Lord to do great things, or I could allow the sin nature to use them for whatever. And when we do that, we refer back to verse 12 when Paul says that we begin to have the desires of our mortal body come to activity and action in our lives. The word instruments is very interesting also. It's a Greek word that describes really a weapon of war. It's a Greek soldier's weapon Paul is talking about. They would have understood that when they heard him say it or when they read the letter that he wrote in Greek. Paul is saying he's referring to the members of our bodies as weapons of spiritual warfare. Think about this. We always make little comments or side comments about spiritual warfare. We're engaging in spiritual warfare, praying over spiritual warfare. You know what Paul says? It's more than that. The very instruments that you're giving the sin nature to use are instruments or weapons of spiritual war. You don't know, may not realize you're fighting a spiritual battle, or you're lending weaponry to the sin nature in the spiritual battle that you're in by giving him the members of your body. These weapons can be used on either side of the war here. Your eyes, your ears, your hands, your heart, your mind, your feet can be used to fight on the side of the sin nature, or they can be used to fight on the side of righteousness. Again, the choice is ours. Now, the second time that Paul uses the word yield, let me read it again to you. When we get down further into verse 13, he says, "But yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness." The second time he uses the word yield, the definition is the same, but he uses it in a different form. This time it's not the imperative form. It's a different form that really lends itself to us understanding that it's an action that takes place one time for all. Now, I know that sounded confusing. Let me say it this way. Here's what Paul was saying on the second half of this verse. He's telling us, but now, he's saying, don't yield your members to the sin nature as instruments of spiritual warfare, but lend your members, yield your members of your body to the disposal of the Lord. Do it once and for all time. Here's what Paul's saying. Make the choice. I will not give the members of my body over to the destruction of the sin nature to fight on the wrong side of this spiritual war. I'm going to make the choice right now to give the members of my body, to yield my body to the Lord for the spiritual war that I should be fighting, and I'm going to do it once and for all. This, again, is a choice that you and I make. And it all goes back to who is reigning on the throne of your life. Is it your sin nature? Is it the divine nature of the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit is sitting on the throne, you're going to have the mind of God. You're going to have the will and the desire of God. And an automatic effect of that is that you will begin to give the members of your physical body. It goes from spiritual to physical here. It kind of trickles downhill from the spiritual king on the throne. Your physical members, you will yield those to the Lord, and you will begin to fight on the side of good, on the spiritual side of God, and see yourself as a weapon used by the Lord to do good, great, and mighty things. But the inverse is always true. And this is what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 7, verse 9, when he told us, I was once alive apart from the law. But then the commandment came, and here's what Paul said. When the commandment came, sin revived, and that sin is better translated sin nature. The sin nature revived, and I died. Paul was saying this, I lived one time of my life with the Holy Spirit in control, but then I went back to the way I used to be. That's what he's talking about when he said the commandment came. The sin nature revived, took the throne of my life, and I had spiritual death and separation from the Lord again. And that's Paul talking about his experience after he was saved. How much more do you and I fall into the ability for that to happen? We have to remain aware at all times of who is sitting on the throne of our life. Because when the Holy Spirit is active and in control and uninhibited by the sin nature is broken and set aside the way it should be, then our physical bodies can be used for the good that God intended for us from the moment of our salvation. And don't you want to live that way? Because when we live that way, we have victory. When we live that way, we are more than conquerors. When Jesus said, I give you this information so that you can have peace. I know trials are coming, but take heart. I've overcome the world. You and I are overcomers when the Holy Spirit is reigning over our hearts and lives. I hope that made sense to you. God bless you. And until next time, you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.